Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Tuesday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. Appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It'd be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Napanee.
That would be really weird. I don't even know what that means. I'm going to guess it's some kind of Chuck Dahl descent.
You are correct. It says possibly of Choctaw language origin, purported to mean something to twist or braid.
Can you use it in a sentence?
Yes.
Maybe later.
All right. I'll do it. What the hell? Hey, Steve, I really like the way you Napanee'd your hair. I can't resist. Sorry, Steve.
Okay, last week, I think I got blamed for being involved in some kind of shots or jokes you were taking at Steve. I want to make it clear. I just want to make it clear. I was not involved in that.
That's
or
not even
this.
A shot. The man has, he has dreadlocks. What do you want from me? It was the first thing that popped into my head.
I just don't want to be involved, okay? I don't want to be anywhere near this because
over?
People make it something that's not.
You want to start over?
No, no, I don't. I want you to keep it in.
That's the first
I want the world to see.
Right. I was like, huh?
I want the world to see.
You know that's funny. He'll know it's funny too. That's a good joke. It's a good joke. Come on.
Okay. You deal with it.
Washington County, by the way.
Delta.
Yeah. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. Just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. We'll give him a shirt that says Napanee on it. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef, it's what's for dinner. It's what was for dinner last night in the Haydad household. Those pot roasts came out, those chuck roasts came out fantastic. And it was super easy. That's the great thing about cooking with beef is that it's easy. If you're cooking steaks, you don't have to cook them very long because, you know, medium rare is good. But if you're cooking a pot roast, let's let that sucker cook. Just put it, out of sight, out of mind. And it comes out delicious each and every time. If you're looking for a weeknight meal, if you're cooking something big on the weekend, whatever it is, make beef the star of the show. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. Father's Day is coming up, guys. Don't leave Dad hanging. Head over to College Corner to get him the gift that he really wants, a new polo, pullover, hoodie, or hat with the state script, the interlocking, the M over S. It's all right there for you at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet. Or by the half shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. I don't know why I'm spaced out for a second there.
Okay.
Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch. The best meal in town is always going to be at Restaurant Tyler. We love a lunch at Restaurant Tyler, and you will too. If you are a blue plate person, if you are a real Southerner, you want to have that meat and two veg and cornbread, you can't beat the plate at Restaurant Tyler. Fried chicken, fried catfish, hamburger steak, all your Southern favorites right there. And, of course, you can get you a glass of sweet tea to go with that. It doesn't get any more Southern than that. If you want to enjoy a fantastic lunch today, the place to go is Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. They'll show you not only where they're located, but how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, how they're going to help you prepare for your future. Now more than ever, you have questions about your money, you need answers, you need them on your schedule, not somebody else's. You need to talk to a banker that knows you as well as they know your money. You need a level of service you're only going to get at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Postseason baseball begins today as you're listening. Mississippi State scheduled for the first pitch at 8 p.m. in Hoover. I will take the over-unders on that, and I will set the bidding at first pitch at 8:35.
I'm going to set the first pitch at like 10:35 because there's going to be some kind of rain delay.
There must be delays. Delay. Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have to deal with that, I think, at some point.
Are you headed over there too, correct?
Yes, I'll be there Tuesday for sure. And then, if they somehow go into Wednesday, I'll cover it Wednesday.
All right, we'll play it by ear. So I guess that being said then, Robbie. So what do we want to do then? Let's get this out of the way now. Because tomorrow would be a rumblings day. So that's something you could do. What time are you going to Hoover?
Oh, after lunch, probably.
Okay.
We can do it tomorrow.
Okay, so rumblings will go as normal, and then I'll come back in. We'll add a future Brian to handle the baseball portion of things. Okay.
That sounds good to me.
Done. Settled. All right. How should Mississippi State attack the SEC tournament? You and I, we've had this debate so many times. And you made a good point yesterday. You know, two different coaches. John Cohen valued the SEC tournament. He attempted to play his best and win that tournament each and every year he was there. Chris Lemonis, quite the opposite. His national championship team, not only did they go 2-Q, they got run ruled in both games. They couldn't get out of Hoover fast enough. And it's so funny when you talk to Lemonis. He denies it to this day. He's like, no, we were over there trying to play, and the results don't bear you out on that one, Coach. So I'm going to have to go with what my eyes saw. What about Justin Parker? Can Mississippi State gain anything this weekend? Is it just as simple as you could be a 2-seed and maybe an easier regional? That's really all that's on the line for them.
They could probably lock up a 2. I think they're already a 2, personally. I may be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I think 15 and 15 in the SEC, you're going to be inside the top 30 in the RPI. To me, I mean, I feel like that should be enough for a 2-seed. But you beat Texas A&M. Perhaps you beat Auburn, you're probably going to be inside the top 30 in the RPI. You're definitely a 2-seed at that point, I would imagine. And then you're at that point also, you have 17 conference wins, which is fairly strong. So I guess that you could do that. You could continue the winning run that you're on here. And I, quite frankly, I think this team is going to want to win. They're kind of in that mode right now where they're enjoying playing baseball. I don't think that they're going to go to Hoover and just lay down and try to get to the regional. Mm-hmm. I think this team is going to want to continue to win. It might be a different mindset than where the fan base is right now. But I kind of foresee this team going in there and playing their best baseball that they can play. We'll see what happens from a pitching standpoint. But I think this team's going to want to win going in there just to continue to have that feeling that they're getting right now with 9 out of the last 10 games.
Tell me if this makes sense. And it makes sense in my head, but I'm pretty messed up. You don't have to win the tournament to keep momentum. I feel like if you go there and you win on Tuesday and you win on Wednesday, and then we didn't mention this yesterday, but there's a break, right? Mm-hmm. So if you State's off Thursday, if they're still alive on Wednesday, they don't play again until Friday.
Yeah.
If you make it to Friday and then you lose there, you've kept your momentum. You haven't given anything away at that point. I feel that's how I look at this. You know, yeah, you don't want to go over there and lose that first game, especially to this struggling Texas A&M team. You want to just put them out of their misery, right? Then you play Auburn, a team that, you know, took the series from you. I can understand wanting to get that game from them. That's also a really great win on your resume if you can get Auburn. Auburn, I think, is number 2 in the RPI as we speak, or they're definitely top 5. But if you get to Friday, I think you're okay moving on. Now, I will make one caveat to that. If you're playing Ole Miss, you want to beat them. And there's a chance you could be playing Ole Miss there. But
I thought they were playing LSU.
Is it LSU?
Friday. I think that's right. Is LSU – I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure LSU got a bye to the quarterfinals.
Oh, you're correct. Okay. So
yeah. I don't know if you'd play Ole Miss until either the semis or the finals. I can't remember where they are in the bracket, but they're –
You're right. Okay, I was looking at this differently. Okay, my bad. This new format is throwing me off. So, yes, Ole Miss will play. If they advance, they'd play Arkansas, and then State would play LSU. Well, I'm kind of tempted to say the same thing for LSU.
I mean, it's not that different. No, it's not
now, now I'm talking myself into. Well, you should just go ahead and win the tournament. You know.
Well, I mean, by the time you get to Friday,
and you get to that point.
Probably get back into your regular rotation.
Exactly.
I mean, you're going to want to win it.
Yeah.
And at that point, you know, it's a little bit different than the run in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Because in 2012, you had to essentially play six consecutive days. They played a game against Kentucky, I think, in 2012, and they lost that game. It would have gotten them a bye to the semifinals. And I think that would have made a difference for that team having that day off.
Mm-hmm.
So what it does allow you, it still is going to, I think, will drain your team. Maybe not to the effect of, you know, your team's going to be completely done in a regional, but 5 games in 6 days, that's a lot. That's a lot of wear and tear on your team going into the regional. But from a pitching standpoint, I think it's a manageable situation, especially if you get that Thursday or that Thursday off.
Mm-hmm.
If you win those first 2 games and then you get
it's just a regular weekend series at that point.
And all of a sudden you have Pico, Evan Sierra, and Carson Ligon, and mm-hmm. that's basically going to be their bullpen days anyway. So, you know, I'm kind of back and forth on this. I don't know if State's going to be able to make – I think they're capable of winning those first 2 games, but I don't know if State's going to be able to make that kind of run. But I've been kind of back and forth on, do you just need your pitchers to rest this week to get ready for the regional,
mm-hmm.
or should you continue to try to win this thing? Because it's going to be the challenge for Mississippi State these first 2 days, is making it through these games with your weaker arms, I would say, your starters. I don't know who they're starting yet. They haven't announced yet. I would imagine either Noah Sullivan or Jacob Pruitt, maybe Pruitt, and then Sullivan if you win on Tuesday. I'm not 100% certain what they're going to choose to do. Ryan McPherson is an option.
Does this make sense to you, by the way? If they start Sullivan on Tuesday, I don't think they would start Pruitt on Wednesday. I think either Pruitt starts the first game or he's not starting.
Probably. Yeah, I think Pruitt is probably going to be the option, but I don't know what Justin Parker's going to choose to do. And then, you know, do you want Ryan McPherson coming out of the bullpen?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to try to form him into that fourth starter for a potential regional?
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the situation you have here, because the first 2 games – you will not see your weekend starters. I don't think Justin Parker is going to push any of those three on short rest. That would be odd. That wouldn't make any sense. Mississippi State doesn't really need a game in this tournament, so there's really no reason to push one of your starters up a day. So I think what you're going to see is just, you know, bullpen days on Tuesday and Wednesday, and if you get through those, it would be game on at that point. I mean, it'd be State's weekend starters versus LSU's. I mean, Cade Anderson, I guess.
We might finally get that Cade Anderson, Pico Khan matchup that we did not get in the regular season because State pushed Khan back a day.
Yeah. And did Anderson get hurt or leave the game or something the other day? I may be misremembering, or it might have been another series.
I don't recall. I don't know for sure.
I don't know. But, you know, it would be really interesting. And if you get those 2 games, whatever happens from there for Mississippi State is gravy, because you've won 2 games in the SEC tournament, you advance to the weekend, you're continuing that good feeling that you had. And in the midst of it, you beat a really good Auburn team during that stretch. So, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to watch this week. It always is. SEC tournament and how teams utilize their pitching and all that, it always – is an interesting thing to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially when with the new setup and the way everything's going to work here with single elimination. I think it's a good thing in that, you know, you don't have to worry about overextending your pitching. You know, you at most you're going to lose one game, and then it's not about coming back and finding somebody else. None of that. And you lose, you go home, you get ready for the postseason. So I think it's State's in a really good spot because they've secured their bid to the postseason. They're not worried. They're not going over there trying to play their way in. Texas A&M is a team that technically they are trying to play their way in. I think they'd have to get deep into the weekend, if not win this whole thing, to get there. But they also, that team might just be ready to call it a day. They really might. And
I mean, it kind of looks like it.
We're going to talk about that in just a moment with in an interview I just did with D1 Baseball's Mark Etheridge. We'll get to that in just a second. Before we do that, though, the Ferris Trophy was announced earlier today. It was J.B. Middleton that got the win. I got a text from one of our friends, our friend Caleb Hamill, who's done some play-by-play for Mississippi State Baseball. If you look at it, it's an outside shot. Ace Reese could win the Triple Crown this year in the SEC. He absolutely could.
It is mathematically. It's mathematically.
So he's second in home runs. He's one behind Fisher. He's third in RBI. He's three behind Justin LeBron from Alabama. He's third in batting average. He's 5 points behind. I'm sorry. He's eight points behind the leader, Colby Shelton at Florida.
Which can change in two games. That can be.
It really could. You know, so. It's going to look kind of funny if we come back in a couple of weeks and he's won the Triple Crown and didn't win the Ferris Trophy. But at the same
time, it really is kind of like, I remember whenever Brent Rooker was going for it, and there was a lot that could still happen. Like his batting average, he could go through a slump and he could fall out of it or whatever. I mean, I think the home runs were pretty safe at the time, if I remember correctly, but it's correct, like the batting average. And then I remember Jake Mangum going for the batting title his freshman year. He was back and forth with the guy at Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of, it's one of those deals, like, until the season comes to an end, like, you don't know on that stuff. But what's really impressive about Ace Reese, and we knew that he was having a really good season, but I don't think it was until the other night when we were really kind of breaking it down where we understood just how good he wasn't.
You're correct. I knew he was having a good season, but at no point did I realize. I think you may have tweeted it, or it may have just been on your message board. But you're like, he now shares the SEC home run lead. Now, I literally just had a moment of what he does.
He's one behind Fisher now. But listen to what he's done in SEC play only.
All right, go ahead.
He's batting .402.
Yeah,
in the SEC, 1.344 OPS.
Mm-hmm.
He has 49 hits. He has 15 home runs in SEC play, 12 doubles, 37 RBI, 869 slugging percentage.
Nice.
And 15 walks to 26 strikeouts. The strikeouts, whatever. 475 OBP. He is he's having an unbelievable
really season. Really good.
Leading the team in batting average in SEC play. That belongs to Steven Spoleta. Who is 2-for-4?
Good for him.
Yeah.
So
he's the SEC numbers alone.
They're pretty impressive.
I can't find the SEC website. There is a there's a like SEC stats page.
Yeah.
I don't think there's an SEC only. I could be wrong. It just says all games, but for the entire season, he's been incredible, and he's somehow been even better against some of the best pitchers in the conference. So he's undoubtedly going to be a first-team All-SEC guy when that comes out. I'm very interested to see, like we said the other day, I'm very interested to see what happens with the player of the year, because I do think that Ace has a very good argument for it. I would imagine it would be one of the Aloys, or
could be
Ike Irish, maybe. I don't know, but I mean, Reese to me has as good an argument as anybody when you just look at the raw stats.
Yeah, I wonder if team success is going to get taken into account there.
But I believe it will.
It normally does, so we'll see how that all pans out. All right, let's stay on baseball for just a second here, and we'll go to my interview. I talked earlier today to D1 Baseball's Mark Etheridge. He is, I found out during the interview, he is in Hoover. I should have figured it out. When you look at the background on this interview, he like blurred out his background. I was like, he's in Hoover. But I didn't. I asked just to be sure. So he's there in Hoover. And I'd like to welcome our newest sponsor to the podcast, who will be bringing you all of the interviews we do here on Thunder and Lightning. And that is Alora Modern Wellness. It's a hidden gem in Starkville. It's founded by healthcare veterans Rich and Lisa Lopez. They offer cutting-edge treatment like whole-body cryotherapy, which this particular host of Thunder and Lightning is a big fan of. Coach Ben Howland got me into that, and I'm telling you, for an old guy like me, when I'm sore, when I go out, I exercise, like I come back, my back hurts, my muscles hurt. 3 minutes at -200 degrees will help you feel better. I don't know why it works. I just know that it does work. But they got a lot more going on over there. That's, you know, super high tech stuff, infrared saunas, LED light treatments, and assisted stretching. Plus, I believe the first stretch is free. So if you go check them out and you say, hey, I want to get my stretch, they set up that appointment. You can do that and see if that's something you want to continue doing, and they can help you out. 821C Highway 12 across from Kroger. It is your local destination for modern wellness. Discover more at AloraModernWellness.com. Let's go now to my interview with Mark Etheridge of D1 Baseball. We are in the busiest time of year for college baseball, so I'm very thankful that Mark Etheridge for D1 Baseball is able to join me today to talk a little Mississippi State. We'll talk about the team. We'll talk about the coaching search. Let's start with the team. Let's actually start with the team that Mississippi State's playing game one here in the SEC tournament, Mark, and that's Texas A&M. I talked to every national guy before the start of this season. It was like, we sure about A&M? We sure about – and everybody's like, oh, yeah, they'll be fine. What happened? Just in your opinion, what happened?
Yeah. I mean, the expectations were so high.
Yeah.
Okay. Return most of the pitchers, most of the hitters from a team that was one game away from winning it all last year. Jim Schlossnagel goes to Texas. Then what did they do? Well, there was a potential exodus. Mm-hmm. A lot of those guys were going to leave. The popular assistant, Michael Early, got the job and as a way to keep those players. And we wondered, I mean, he's a really impressive guy, but he's a first-time head coach, and the expectations win it all. Mm-hmm. And that's tough for anyone, much less a guy who hasn't done it before.
Yeah.
They've had some injuries. They've had some struggles, but it just really hasn't worked. And as they go into this closing stretch or potentially one more game, it's a question of are they gonna keep him at this point? Because when your goal is to win it all and you don't even make a regional, that asks some really difficult questions about the direction of the program.
So from the Mississippi State perspective, are they going to see an A&M team that's fired up and like realizing, hey, we've got to win this tournament if we want to play postseason baseball? Or are they going to see an A&M team that's probably ready for the season to end?
Yeah, that's the question. And before the Missouri series, I really felt like A&M had turned it around. And they would, because, I mean, they won a series at Tennessee, at Arkansas, mm-hmm. LSU at home. They were playing as, you know, they were playing like a top 25 team,
mm-hmm.
maybe better. And then they give up 6 runs in the ninth to Missouri in game one and really just mailed it in from that point. They got 2 hit in back-to-back days. Then they go to Georgia, and I mean, Athens is a really tough place to play this year with the way they swing the bats in Foley Field. That was going to be hard anyway. But Caden Sorrell, probably their best hitter. He's out, looks like, for the year now.
Mm-hmm.
And they just really weren't able to get it done. And I do question, what do they have left in the tank? They had a superhuman effort from Justin Lamkin, who threw a 2-hit shutout, was 15 strikeouts to win that one game. You can't count on getting that every game. And they're just not swinging the bats well enough. I really think that Tuesday night will be the end for A&M. It's just one of those seasons that we're going to look back on years from now and think about the preseason number one, who really disappointed.
From the Mississippi State perspective, a great finish of the season since the decision to move on from Chris Lemonis. They're 8-1. I'm sorry, 9-1. They've won their last 3 series, 2 of them by sweeps. This past weekend, I don't really know what I expected to have happen up there. I thought State would win the series, but after what A&M did to Missouri, I thought, well, maybe Missouri's got a little spark. No, not so much. I think they're ready for the season to end as well. And so you got a Mississippi State team that's playing really well. They've got some confidence right now.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of a run you want to make in Hoover, because I think sometimes, you know, Lemonis was famous for like, let's just get out of there. I don't know what Parker's mentality is going to be, but let's talk about the postseason in general. How deep can a run can this Mississippi State team make the way it's playing right now?
Well, there's really 2 ways to look at this. Okay, so there's one perspective that is skeptical of what Mississippi State's doing, right? Because two home series, and then you go to Missouri, who holds their two of their best pitchers for Tuesday. But then the other side of this is they are playing a lot better and they are playing confident. And this is the team that you hope to see all year. And what if this is truly who they are now? Because that's a scary team to face. And if you've got you've got a true ace and the way Sierra has pitched better, I mean, Ligon, I mean, you've got plenty of pieces in the pen and the offense is hitting the ball out of the park, which, you know, when Mississippi State has played well, the home runs have followed. And I feel like if that's who they are now, then yeah, they'd be a scary team. I think they certainly went into the series against Missouri kind of bubblish. Well, you can forget about that now. They're in the field. Now it's maybe they're a two seed if you go on a run. And I don't know if being a two versus a three is that much difference as what color jersey you wear, but still, you want to feel better about where you are as a program. And certainly with what Justin Parker's done, I mean, he's not only auditioning for the Mississippi State job, but he's auditioning for his next job, whatever it is. Okay. So if he goes on a run, kind of like Jason Jackson did at Alabama a few years ago when he took over for Brad Bohannon, they ended up having a really strong finish and he elevated his stock. He ended up staying at Alabama, got a big raise to do it. That's something that Justin Parker is it's in play for him for that next gig, whether it's in Starkville or somewhere
Ace Reese just named the SEC Player of the Week just a few minutes ago. He had a monster weekend up in Columbia. I thought it would be between him and Hunter Hines. I thought they might give Hines the nod of him breaking the record, but no doubt Reese was very deserving. Is that the most underrated guy in the SEC this year? I don't feel like anybody really talks about him, and yet you look at his stats and he's top five almost everywhere.
Yeah, he's really it's the second half of the year, he's just come into his own. And I think because of that, you look at the numbers, they're incredible. I think part of it is he didn't start the year as one of the high profile guys. You know, he's a transfer from Houston, was kind of a more DH outfielder, and here he is at third base, improving defensively there. I think having him and hitting the way he is now kind of elevates the team because everybody around, if you're going to make a run in the postseason, you need that guy that people don't, that can't pitch to, that the pitching coaches have to build that plan around to, and Mississippi State's got one. And if he's doing that, then the people around him, both in front of him and behind him, are going to get better pitches to hit, and everything just kind of builds, right? And I think having that one guy, you look across the league, and Ike Irish is having that kind of year for Auburn. The Aloy brothers, really both of them, and you throw in Logan Maxwell, you throw in Brett Iredell, they've got a bunch of guys that do that too. And then maybe when Justin LeBron at Alabama's going, right? I mean, he's as good as anybody. And Mississippi State's got a guy like that now, and I think that if they're going to make a run and make this, you know, this what looked like a forgettable season into something memorable, he's going to be a big part of that.
So let's talk coaching search for just a second. And let's go back to A&M, though, because if A&M does decide to move on there, how does that affect Mississippi State's search? State having such a big head start, does that give them a big advantage there?
I don't know because anybody that you're going after is still playing and they're not going to. They're not really going to entertain anything, at least publicly, until they're done. I do feel like with if A&M opens, I mean that's big checkbooks. They went big game hunting last year when it was when it was open. Tried to get Tony Tony Vitello at Tennessee. Made some overtures with other places, and then eventually landed on Michael Early. I think the question is, what will they do this time? I expect a similar playbook. I think they're gonna go after a big name, and if they don't, then you know that filters down. And from a Mississippi State standpoint, that's just more competition. You're gonna have to pay more if A&M's in the picture, and not that Mississippi State doesn't want to pay more, but you never want to pay more than you have to, and it certainly changes maybe that level of guy because everybody you have more suitors, right? So one thing I do want to mention about this is with the whole house settlement deal, there could be some people who might not be looking to leave under normal circumstances that look out across the landscape and think, oh, I'm not going to be able to be as competitive in this new landscape because I'm not going to have the financial support that some of these other programs in the SEC primarily are going to have. So maybe there's a coach who normally I'm good, I've got a good situation, I'm not even going to consider it. Well, now they've really got to look hard, and because of that, I think Mississippi State, it's an attractive job anyway. It's a destination job, but the question is, you know, some guys just you get comfortable, you're in a good spot, you don't want to mess with it, and I feel like maybe some of those guys might be a little bit more interested.
Who is Brian O'Connor? Is what
Yeah.
the Jeopardy question was right there. So
Yeah.
it is that's a guy that you're correct. I think that, 2, 3 years ago, he's really settled in at Virginia. He's not going
Right.
anywhere. Now he knows that Virginia is probably not going to give the same commitment to baseball that Mississippi State would. Is that a very realistic option, in your opinion, for Mississippi State right
I
now?
mean, it's a great question. He's if you can get him, you hire him tomorrow. I mean, that's the deal. I just, yeah, that's a question. You never know what his situation's like. You know, a lot of times it comes down to family. You know, he's probably more my age, in his 50s. What do you want to do with, you know, that those last, excuse me, last X years of your career? How do you want to spend it? Do you want this new challenge of coming in? And I do feel like there are some coaches, especially that have accomplished a lot, who can't, who would love the opportunity to come in and try to test themselves at the highest level. Because, I mean, you're probably going to have six of the top eight national seeds come out of the SEC. That's what we're projecting, and unless something weird happens, I think that's gonna happen. You're gonna have 13 regional teams out of the 16, and if A&M wouldn't have faltered, you'd have had 14. I mean, this is the big boys, right? So if you get a chance to do that, and you feel like you've always wanted that opportunity, then yeah, why wouldn't you want to come in and do it?
And it feels like for a state, like the tier B guys, and I feel bad saying tier B because there's some good coaches there, but Wazikowski, Walter, Fitzgerald, Pollard, these are all
Right.
names that are like, it feels like if state misses on their first guys, that's the fallback option. It really
Yeah.
does feel like state. And you think back to 2018, it was t state went after Schlossnagel, they went after Dan McDonald, couldn't move them out, and they end up with Lemonis. But it feels like this time, even if they miss out on their first choice, they're still going to get a coach who has been producing at an elite level for some time.
And the landscape has changed. Now you've got the portal, now you've got NIL. The power has consolidated into fewer schools, and if you happen to be one of those schools, like Mississippi State is, you've got a really good shot to have somebody elevate into your role.
Where are you headed this week? What conference tournament will you be at?
I'll be in Hoover. Yeah, can't wait. It's going to be interesting with the whole 16 teams are all there, single elimination. I'm writing a story now on the stakes for each team. And as I've gone through this, I'm realizing that there are really not a lot of teams who can help or hurt their case. So it'll be interesting to see how teams approach it. There are a few who can help. I think Kentucky needs to win a game. They're probably in 13 and 17, mid-30s RPI, but you know how a conference tournament week's kind of crazy. They could be sweating it out. So they play Oklahoma Tuesday. I think that's a game they need to win. And then from a host standpoint, I think Alabama, I think Ole Miss, I think Tennessee, I think Florida, all of those, if they have a good week and they do better than those teams I mentioned, and some of the other teams who are trying to get a host like Georgia Tech or Clemson or TCU or Southern Miss, I feel like there could be an opportunity for another SEC team to play their way into hosting.
13 SEC teams, you think?
Yeah. I think Kentucky's the 13th team. Unless something weird happens, they're going to get
Yeah, and then A&M would have to probably at least make it to
I
Saturday,
think,
you think, right?
yeah, I think if they get to the weekend, it gets interesting. But I mean, they've got a lot of ground to make up. And honestly, I don't have enough confidence in that team being consistent enough to beat good teams that many days in a row.
I didn't realize this until my buddy Robbie Falk put it on his message board, but I didn't realize that that's the worst offensive team in the conference. A&M. I didn't. I can't get wrap my head around that, knowing the talent that they had coming into the season. But
And considering how they've had some really good showings, that
yeah,
shows you how bad they've been.
goodness gracious. Well, Mississippi State first pitch is scheduled for 8 p.m. We know how the weather goes over in Hoover on Tuesday, so we'll see what happens. Mark, appreciate you, man. Enjoy your time over in Hoover, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Absolutely, man. Talk to you soon.
It's fine. I started the interview. I know you haven't listened to it yet. I started asking about Texas A&M, and I was just like, basically, I want to ask. I asked him the question I want to ask Kendall and Aaron, and what happened?
What happened?
What happened? But he was just like, coach wasn't ready. Just wasn't ready. You know, great recruiter, but the management portion of it has gotten away from him. So
I just don't understand. I don't understand, like, trying to sell your fan base when you've invested that money into that program, going from, in my opinion, a top three head coach in college baseball to his assistant. And everybody was just okay with it. Like, you obviously are not pouring in what you say you're pouring in, or you don't care enough about the program if that's your idea.
I think they were just so concerned with that they knew what they had coming back, and they didn't want to lose those guys. And so, you know,
they thought he could just coast it through, and Jace Lavalette and Grager and those guys could just hold it up. That it doesn't work that way.
Like
That's why you cannot tell me that Chris Lemonis didn't play a factor in Mississippi State's national championship.
Right.
Well, we can talk about the last 4 years all we want to, but you cannot do what Mississippi State did.
Oh.
And they won 52 games or whatever it was in a national championship with a coach that doesn't know what he's doing. It's very difficult to play 70 games or whatever they did and not screw it up.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Lemonis didn't do that. He put the guys in place, did the right thing. That roster was probably not even as talented as what Texas A&M had coming into this year.
No, I would say
they won a championship.
And I you can argue with me if you want, but I give Lemonis full credit for winning a national title, and I also give him full blame for what's happened since then. And that's the burden of being the head coach.
Yeah.
So,
and we don't, you know, we're not sitting here talking about the people underneath him, like, that's why a lot of guys don't want to be in that position.
That's right.
They can kind of sit back in the corner and they don't have to worry about it or whatever. Yeah. But I do think that, you know, with that said, I think everybody plays their role.
Right.
The pitching coach and the hire you make there is incredibly important. I think the hitting coach. So, like, we can't blame certain things on people and not give them credit, too. That's why I think Jake Gautreaux deserves a lot of credit for what's happening with Mississippi State this year.
Yeah.
Because Epiphany
is a team. I mean,
we can't.
That's in conference play.
We can't sit here and give. I mean, I think Justin Parker deserves a lot of credit, but we can't give him all the credit.
Right.
On this, when the pitching has been so-so the last 3 weeks and the hitting is batting 370 or whatever it is at this point in the last 3 weeks, and it's the second best offense in the SEC. I think Jake Gautreaux deserves a ton of credit for that this year.
You're hitting .298 in conference play, and your ERA in conference play is 5.68. So, yeah.
And I think
offense has been the issue.
I think there are two spots under 300. I think there's only one other team over 300.
Yeah, you're correct. I believe it's Arkansas. Yeah. So there you go.
All right. They're right on the verge of 300 in conference play. That is a tremendous number. Texas A&M, on the other hand, is like, what, 260 something in conference play? It's not great, Bob.
Yeah, I agree. All right, let's move into our SEC preview. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. And, of course, right next door is the Older Brother, the home of the Fancy Sandwich. That's two great restaurants. So close you could throw a football and hit them. I mean, we could have a game of catch from one window to the other. We need precision. We're going to need Blake Chapin in there to really thread the needle, but we can make it happen. I love those two places. You will too. If you haven't been to the Older Brother yet, you're missing out. If you haven't been to Two Brothers yet, I don't know what to tell you. You're an imposter. You're not an actual Mississippi State fan. I'm just here to tell you. If you have not eaten at Two Brothers since it's opened, I can't deal with that, and I'm not going to. Two Brothers Smoked Meats, The older brother, two of our favorite places right there in the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. That's what they've been doing for 50 years.
Did you know that Mississippi State scored 50 runs this past weekend?
25 plus 13 is 38 plus 12. Yes, that is correct. The math checks out. Well, 50 runs, 50 years, it's all good. If you need technology for your business, give Advantage Business Systems a call. And then if you need service for anything that they've sold you, it's just a phone call away. And it's the same number. It's the same people. You're not having to worry and deal with others. It's all a Mississippi company taking care of another Mississippi company. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Anytime you're going to be in Starkville, if you need to pick up, you know, I know how it goes, guys. You come up here with the family to Starkville for whatever reason. They want to go shopping. They want to go get MSU stuff. They want to see what's available. You need to take them to Maroon & Co. Take your family to Maroon & Co. to get the biggest and best selection of Mississippi State gear. Everything you need. Shirts, hoodies, pullovers, sweatshirts, hats, t-shirts. It's all right there. And it's gonna be the biggest and best selection. Nobody else can touch Maroon & Co. Online or in-store, our promo code works. Thunder15 to save you 15% off regular price. Next time you're in Starkville, before you go to the game, make sure you go to Maroon & Co. It's hot outside. That means the weather is nice. It means it's blue skies. It means it's time to get out this weekend and do something around the house. If you've got a project that you've been putting off, if you need to mow the grass this weekend, work in the garden, or if you just want to cook out, everything you need to do those things is available at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. And if you really want to get that lawn looking the way it needs to, you need to take advantage of the John Deere Drive Green Spring Sales Event. 0% financing up to 48 months on Gators and commercial mowers. 0% up to 72 months on all John Deere compact tractors. Do not miss out on that. We got a few weeks left. It's valid through June 2nd, so see your dealer for details. Visit Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden at 3575 Tom Watson Drive in Saltillo. Or you can shop online at scruggsfarm.com. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. They have what you need for less. All right. Robbie wanted to go. He wanted to talk hot seat this week because he has picked the Auburn Tigers as our SEC preview this week. Auburn, Hugh Freeze. Did you see his comments, by the way?
Oh, yeah, I saw.
We got to go to a bowl game this year. Brother Hugh, I think you might need to do a little bit more than that if you want to be safe in your surroundings, my friend.
He's already softening the blow.
He's the worry. My favorite. I saw a message board genius post talking about this is why we hire. This is what happens when you hire a Mississippi AD. He has Mississippi goals. Like,
I tried to tell you that.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Everybody was celebrating. They were all celebrating. They were taking Mississippi State. Should have listened to us. Auburn. Like, yeah. Okay, are your standards to be Mississippi State? Because that's what you're hiring over there. Everybody you're hiring is from Mississippi State's athletic department, who continues to compare themselves to Mississippi State while simultaneously acting like they're better than Mississippi State. So I don't know what to tell you about that. This is what you get.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about it. What do they get this year, 2025? Here's the Auburn schedule. One of the most intriguing games of the first week of college football. Friday night kick, Auburn at Baylor. Baylor is like my dark horse. Baylor is my could-be Indiana team this year. You could look up at them, and they're in the playoff discussion. Aranda really did a good job turning that around. Sawyer Robertson was really, really good for the Baylor Bears last year. It's on the road. Buddy. Pal. I like Baylor to win this one.
I do too. I think that the offense is going to be in comfortable spot. Auburn's breaking in a new quarterback. It's going to be on the road. When things go tough, how does Jackson Arnold deal with that with a new offense and kind of breaking off the rust? I like Baylor in this game too.
All right. Next couple ones are easy. Ball State and South Alabama at home.
You say that. South Alabama's not.
I
think we would take Auburn.
I think we would take Auburn, yeah. Then they travel to Oklahoma.
So, the return of Jackson Arnold in Oklahoma.
Yes, yes. Who won this game last year? Didn't Oklahoma win? Oklahoma won. Yeah.
Did they?
Yeah.
They did win. Did they beat Auburn in?
They beat them in Auburn. Yeah, they won because they had like a couple of pick sixes in that game.
So they beat Auburn in Bama.
Yeah, I guess they did.
The state of Alabama state champs.
They just split it with Vanderbilt. Yeah, Auburn. Yeah, Oklahoma won 27. Yeah, that was okay. So Auburn was up 21-3 going into the fourth quarter.
Oh.
27. I'm sorry, they were up 14-10. My bad. I missed. It's not as bad as it sounds. But yeah, they gave up 17 points in the fourth quarter. So they were up 21-10. Okay, so Auburn scored first, and then they scored 17 unanswered. Way to go! Yeah. All right. That being said, I say all that to say, I have no faith in Oklahoma this year. I'm going to take Auburn to go on the road and get this win.
What gives you faith in Auburn?
I got more faith in Auburn than I do in Oklahoma. It's just as simple as that. It's a scared hey dad kind of comment.
Last year, and that team was bad, and they went to Auburn and won that game. But you still have more faith in Auburn.
Yes, I have more faith in Auburn than There is no coach in America I have less faith in than Brent Venables. That is what I'm saying.
But he beat Hugh Freeze last year.
He did. He did. I'm just saying, I think Auburn is better this year than they were last year, and I don't know that Oklahoma is. I'm just telling you, I just don't think Auburn's going to go 3-9. They're going to win some games. I'm going to give them this one.
I mean, okay. I don't know what Oklahoma has is my issue with them. Brent Venables is apparently like taking over the defense, which is usually like the last resort before you get fired. Like you're like, it's like you were not involved at any point until now. Like you're throwing everybody else under the bus, which is a Hugh Freeze thing. I don't know, man. I think I'm going to go with Oklahoma in this.
Okay. 2-2. You've got them 2-2, brother. The natives are restless in Auburn in Robbie Faulk's world.
Oh yeah, that would be. There would not be toilet paper on the trees.
No, there'd be somewhere.
There would be. There would be flames on the trees.
All right. Especially when we look at the next week, Robbie. They're at Texas A&M.
Oof. I think I'm definitely taking A&M in this.
I
think we already did, didn't we?
We did. We both took A&M to win this game. So you've got them 2-3 before October 1st. Three
two
losses.
2-4. 2-4 after this.
I'll get to that in a minute. Let's get there in a minute. 2-3. I've got them 3-2. Bye week. Oh, hello, Georgia. Okay, I'll just go ahead and tell you something right now, Robbie. Oof. You know how I love to get a coach fired before a bye week, right? You know why that's my favorite thing. Fire them, have the bye week, a week to set everything up, and then you come back the next week. Does Auburn look at this and say, if they lose to A&M, right? Especially, let's just use your scenario. They're 2-3. They know they're losing to Georgia, right? They know that's going to happen. Do they fire him there so they can reset?
Or do they I just don't know if his seat that hot right now.
I think
so. Coming into the season, because that's kind of the deal. Is like,
I think it's warm, and if he loses three of his first five games, it would be scorching hot.
I just don't. John Cohen is not really, he had to fire Andy Canizero for other reasons.
Same with Moorhead.
But he's one of those, like, he likes to let it play out. He's not reactionary in that regard. I don't think he would fire in midseason.
Okay. Well, then so be it then. Bye week and then Georgia. So you're saying 2-4 and I'm saying 3-3.
Mm.
Then they host Missouri.
Yeah, and I think they would get this one.
Oh, okay. I have this as a loss.
I don't like Missouri.
This has got to be the last year with Missouri, though, right? If they win 8-9 games this year, next year you got to go in saying, okay.
Well, I kind of got on board with them last year. Mm-hmm. Like last year was what kind of got me off the bandwagon.
They won 9 games,
but they weren't that impressive.
I mean, I guess, but they beat Auburn.
They just weren't very impressive to me.
Okay. All right. So you're gonna give Auburn a win here.
They're just very boring, and
They are boring.
I don't like Drinkwitz as a
Okay.
as I think he's kind of a joke.
Okay. So so we're both 3-4 at this
With that
point.
being at home, the thing about Auburn fans is even when they're bad or they're kind of in disarray, they're packing the place out. So the crowd will still be really good and intimidating. I think it'll play a factor.
Okay. So we're both 3-4 at this
I
moment.
actually think that they're going to kind of get some momentum back here late in the
Well,
year.
here's where they should pick up some momentum, right? They're at Arkansas.
I think they win that.
Home against Kentucky.
I think they win that as well. Kentucky is awful on the road
Yeah.
historically.
Unless they're at Vaught Hemingway. And
Yeah.
then at Vanderbilt, can Diego Pavia get him again?
Oh, God. Can he get him for the third year in a row?
I have this as an Auburn win.
I think Auburn gets them this time. I think that the carriage is about to turn back to a pumpkin for Vandy.
Yeah, I think so too.
It kind of feels like just a little flash in the pan. I think Auburn gets this one. So I think they're right back on track, and then you come into that Iron Bowl
Well,
at
they have a bye week, and then
always
they have
winnable.
the FCS team. They play Mercer. So
At
you've got so here just for the record, Robbie, you've got them 1, 2, 3, 4. You've got them winning 5 in a row after Georgia. They would have a lot of momentum, and that's the Iron Bowl that's in Auburn, which means every time it's in Auburn, it's weird and
It's
it's
very
close.
weird.
You're gonna go out on a limb here?
I don't know. I don't. I do think it'll be a competitive game. But I don't.
You can't pull the trigger
I
on
can't
this.
pull the trigger on it.
Okay. So then we both ended up with them 7-5.
7-5.
Yeah. So the difference is I've got them beating Oklahoma and losing to Missouri. You've got them losing to Oklahoma but beating Missouri. That's the only difference in our schedules.
Yeah, and at that point, I think he keeps his
He
job
keeps his
because,
job, but he is on the absolute got to be in the playoff next year hot seat, if that's the case.
yeah, because at that point he's using this excuse now that they didn't have a top 25 class for
Which is a
every year.
lie. It's a straight
Every single
lie.
year he had a top 25 class.
Yeah.
What he should
Carson
have
did
said
too.
was, what he should have said was, my roster was decimated. We returned no one from one of those classes he took over. The entire class had
Yeah.
transferred or been kicked off the team or whatever. So what he should have said was, we had like a very small percentage of attrition from those classes, and we had to completely rehaul the roster. Had he said that, I would have been on board
You
with what
buy
he
that. I don't
said.
buy
I'd
that we
buy that.
didn't have top 25 classes because you did.
And he could say, we didn't have top 10 classes. And the last two we've had have been very competitive with our rivals. And we have a lot of great young talent. We've gotten some players out of the transfer portal. We feel like we've overhauled this roster.
You
That
should have
would
been
be
the spokesman,
perfectly
Robbie.
acceptable.
Would you like to be Hugh Freeze's spokesman?
I have a degree in public relations. That was what I did.
Would you be
That
the
was what I was
spokesman?
supposed to
Will
do.
you be the next Mississippi State person to go to Auburn? And now you'll be official press secretary for Hugh Freeze.
I'm making a statement right now that if I ever got offered a job at Auburn, I would not take it. For principle. For principle.
Very
And
good.
I think the last straw was the guy on the creative team the other day that was taking shots at Starkville over Auburn and was it seemed to be very butthurt about the whole deal. I've had enough of it. I feel like a lot of these people are going out of their way to trash Starkville on the way out. I will not be a part of it.
I understand.
Not be a part of it.
Auburn 7-5, Texas A&M we did last week 8-4. Where are we going next week, Robbie?
Let's go to Vanderbilt. I would like to go ahead and get them out of the way.
Right, yeah, we'll get them done early then. We'll talk about the Vanderbilt Commodores and
A team
America.
that has been more successful than Mississippi State the last 2 years. I'm like, get them out of the way. I don't want to talk about them anymore.
A team.
Meanwhile, we're talking about Mississippi State every day on the show, and they've won 7 games combined the last 2 years.
A team that is led by America's favorite college football player, Diego Pavia. We'll see what
Who
happens.
dropped an F-bomb on not only on live television, but did it again at the basketball game this
Do what you
year.
want. When you're Diego Pavia, you do what you want.
He did.
That's tomorrow's show. Oh, that's next week's show. All right, guys, tomorrow's show is the Rumblings. Get the questions in. Robbie and I will answer them. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
You are beautiful on the inside. You are innocence personified. And I will drag you down and sell you out. Run away.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.